Hello and welcome to this week's episode, or this month's episode, or whatever, of the FitCast. This is episode number 253. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to have Travis Johnson on the show. And to give you a little bit of background, Travis has been kind of like one of my contacts out in Tokyo when I was originally getting ready to head out there. He contacted me, and ever since then, we've been kind of going back and forth. And anyways, Travis, it's great to have you finally on the show so we can, you know, talk shop for a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's my pleasure, man. Thank you so much. It's sorry we weren't able to connect a little bit sooner and stuff like that, but obviously everything kind of happens at its own time, so it's good to definitely be chatting with you now.
Hey, you know, definitely. And before we do get into the interview, just a quick programming note that Valerie Waters is going to be coming on the show next week. So if you guys do have any questions for Valerie, you can send those into questions@thefitcast.com, or you can go to thefitcast.com and go to the contact tab at the top and submit your questions through there as well. But for 253, we're going to be talking with Travis. And again, one of the really cool things about this interview is going to be not just that you're really on the other side of the world when it comes to the differences between, you know, training in America and in Japan, but I mean, obviously there's just almost like a completely different market there when it comes to how you're going to set up training and stuff like that. So it'll be really cool to get into that. But the first thing I want to ask you is, What was kind of like your process, and what was kind of like your timeline getting into the industry? And then, you know, the second part of that, what kind of led you to Japan?
Okay, well, I'm gonna try to give you the abbreviated version, because yeah, I can probably go at this for 45 minutes just talking about that bit. Basically, I got more in the industry more once I was here in Tokyo. And to give you this the real short rundown, I was a karate instructor in the United States. I'm originally from the Seattle area. I actually grew up a little north of Seattle area, a little bit more rurally up there. And I was a karate instructor in the Seattle area, and through some kind of connections there, my instructor was Japanese, and I was kind of, there was a really heavy-duty Japanese influence, obviously, on the stuff we're doing culturally and things like that. And I ended up coming out to Japan to go to grad school, mostly because I was interested in checking out being in Japan, living in Japan. And when I came out and went to grad school, I was running into some serious problems. My body was just falling apart, and it was just because when we were in the, you know, the karate realm, especially in that day, so that was about 13 years ago. I moved to Japan in 2000. We weren't really thinking about, like, you know, sports science or exercise kinesiology or biomechanics or even functional anatomy. It was just like, you know, this is how we train. This is how the, you know, my sensei's did it, kind of thing, and this is how we do it. And so there's a lot of abuse. The conditioning element was really just not put together well. And so ran into a lot of problems, ran a lot of injuries. And as I was trying to sort that stuff out, a friend of mine put me into, you know, started to kind of get me involved or looking at training and conditioning and things like that. And he was from New Zealand. So he was actually in on like some early Paul Cech's work. And he was like, you know, you might want to consider some of the stuff, you know, if you're going to be trained doing stuff with your body, like how things kind of work, you know, functional anatomy and that kind of stuff. And just through that injury and that process, I really started getting into that kind of stuff and studying it. And I enjoyed it when I was a coach. You know, I enjoyed teaching karate. I did that for several years, and I was coaching a lot of, you know, national and international athletes, you know, skills training basically is what it was. And so as I kind of got into this, I was like, all right, this is cool. I found myself really much more passionate about that than what I was doing in grad school. In grad school, I was doing like ocean science. I was coming from like a zoology and chemistry background. And so I just started shifting all my, spending all my free time studying, you know, everything I could about, you know, training and, human biomechanics and function, that type of thing. And, ended up meeting my wife around that period of time. She's a Rolfer, and she's also a health fitness professional, but she's also doing Rolfing. That's how we first connected. So I was looking for some manual therapy here. And we met. She's been in the industry here in Japan. I mean, she's like a fairly big name over here. She's been in here for, I don't know, like over 20 years now or more. And just once we connected, it was like everything kind of fell in place. And suddenly I, you know, had one of those epiphanies like I think many of us do, whereas finally it's like I hit on something. Well, this is actually what I really enjoy. This is what I want to work at. And this is the industry I want to be involved in. And so I really kind of pushed on that. And that was about 2005, I guess, is when we're, or even sooner than that. No, it was more than that. It was around 2003, I guess, is really where the light bulb went off for me. Then it was like, okay, how do I bring myself up to speed and actually get my skill set up to the point where I actually can deliver a level of quality? Because I'm stuck in Japan, I wasn't ready to move back to the United States and go through a university school track or anything like that. So it was like a lot of, you know, studying, a lot of, I would go back to the United States and do certifications, different things, and do training courses and that type of stuff. But it was, you know, I'd go back for a week or something and do something and then come back here and back and forth like that. So that's kind of how I got in the industry. And then, you know, if you want me to stop talking for a second, you want to get a word in edgewise, then I can tell you about how we got the facility going.
Yeah, no, it all sounds super interesting. And it's kind of like the same track that, you know, someone else that's out there. I've been super fortunate to be able to make a lot of connections with people out in Japan now, in terms of people that are in the, you know, the fitness world. It seems like that's a really similar track that a lot of people take, is that, you know, they end up like taking, you know, 2 weeks to go back to America, get, you know, take a certification or go to a seminar, just because you know, it seems like it's still like the I guess the information in Japan is still kind of maturing.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, you're looking at the language barrier as well. Like, mm-hmm. if I want to study, like, my Japanese is pretty good. You know, there's always room for improvement. But, you know, when I teach courses and things like that, I'm involved with TRX out here. And, you know, I can teach their instructor training courses. Or not their instructor training course. I mean, their STC, is suspension training courses. You know, I run all that in Japanese, and that's fine. But if I was to go in and sit at, like, a lecture or something like that, or a course, you know, I mean, I could probably follow, depending on what they're going through, you know, I could probably follow the bulk of it, like, now at this point. But, you know, earlier on, especially 10 years ago, I mean, there'd be like no way, I mean, that I'd be able to, even if it was really quality content. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a different topic we can get into later, you know, the quality of the content, the quality of the stuff that's out here. But just the language and stuff as it is, it make it really hard to you know, really educated myself well and get that kind of experience. So I think that's probably why a lot of guys are English speakers. You know, they're going to have to kind of, if they want to stay in Japan and be in Japan, they're going to have to rely on, you know, popping out of the country for a bit and, you know, getting their level up and then coming back.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your, you know, opening up that facility. Again, I'm just, from my limited experience out there, kind of looking around, there are, you know, a couple bigger, you know, gym chains, and there's some like Gold's Gyms and stuff like that. You know, how did you kind of like find your location and, you know, kind of like your niche out there?
Okay, well, before we opened this, my wife and I were subcontracting at a variety of different places around the city. And so we were doing kind of personal training stuff. And I was actually was even doing like in-home stuff for a while. And people do that. Initially, it was a lot of stuff working with the expat community out here, which is like English speakers. And there is actually a, you know, fairly decent, you know, community of English speakers out here that, you know, are interested in training services and that type of stuff. And, you know, these are people that have like been sent out by their company or something to go work in Japan for a contract for 2 or 3 years or whatever. And they're kind of concentrated in one area of Tokyo. And there's others like in Osaka as well. I think there's a decent expat community as well. So I was really kind of working with that initially and dealing with a lot of English speakers. And there's still a lot of guys that do that. And, you know, I think that particular market is actually quite saturated as it is right now, as far as people that are working with the expats. And we kind of got to a point, though, where, you know, we'd been subcontracting out some places, and we really got to a point where we wanted to, you know, the stuff we wanted to do and the way we wanted to approach clients and things we wanted to do with and work with, really kind of require that we had kind of control over a space of our own. And so we made the decision a few years back, right towards the end of 2010, that we're going to go ahead and try to set something up and just get, you know, a decent little space together that we kind of continue in with the stuff we've been doing, which is basically just private one-on-one type thing, and focusing on that, you know, trying to deliver really high quality one-on-one consulting and training for people. And yeah, so as far as the process stuff goes, I think it was just because I had worked doing kind of subcontracting work at different places around the city. That had been going on for many, many years, probably since about 2005, 2006, something like that. So I had several years of doing that, and it just kind of, you just kind of get to a point where, you know, you feel like, well, you know, if I want to kind of take things to the next level, I got to have a kind of a base of operations to work out of. So that was the driving impetus to go ahead and set that up.
I think for a lot of the audience out there, it will be really interesting to talk about some of the differences. And, you know, again, I think the majority of our audience looking at the downloads that we get, I think like 70% of them come from the United States or North America. And then, you know, we have about 15% in Europe, not so much in Asia and Japan, you know. So I think it will be cool to first talk about, what's the industry like over there? Because, again, I got a lot of feedback when I posted like some joke pictures when I went to like the convenience stores and the drug stores, and you kind of look at like the fat loss products and things that are out there that are kind of wacky. Talk a little bit about kind of what, you know, what it's like out there for people who don't really have a good idea.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. So I'll spin off the thing with the, you know, our facility. So, you know, we got our place put up, and since we've done that, we've gotten, you know, started interacting more and more with the local Japanese community in general. My wife always had a lot of Japanese clientele, obviously because she's Japanese, but we started to get more when we had our place. You know, it's a really kind of an interesting environment out here in the sense that it's almost kind of think about where to start. Obviously, as a country, as a nationwide, things tend to be very kind of trend based and fad based. So it's kind of amazing, like something will come up. And I mean, maybe the same thing's true in the United States. I mean, I might be a little bit out of touch because I haven't lived in the United States for 13 years, but you know, it's like things kind of get popular. Something pops up, like, you know, for example, some famous actress or something made some post or did something about how she lost all this weight on, you know, eating nothing but bananas or adding like, you know, 5 bananas a day to her diet or something like that. And suddenly it was like you couldn't buy a banana anywhere in Japan. It was like, you know, everyone just went nuts on this, you know. And so there's a lot of this kind of stuff where this kind of group mentality or this fad-based stuff where something kind of comes out and everyone just dives on it. And, you know, I think, you know, like a lot of people or like, you know, any groups of people, everyone's kind of wants the result for like little effort, right? So, you know, so they these things come out in these types of trainings or these types of ideas. There's one guy who does a thing. It's all based on just like breathing exercises. And he's like hugely popular, you know, and it's this whole thing. Like you can lose weight just by, you know, sitting in a chair and breathing for 15 minutes a day. And I don't know if that kind of stuff would go over in the United States. I mean, I have a feeling people would, you know, call BS on that and jump on it pretty bad. But it tends to actually kind of get traction over here, which just kind of cracks me up. You know, I'll just watch some of the stuff like, wow, you know, like, I mean, the stuff you, what was the stuff you were posting, the stuff you saw in the convenience store, the pictures and stuff there, what were you throwing up? What did you come across?
Stuff that was out there. I'd have to be honest, I think I have the pictures on Facebook, but I think one of the things that I saw in the convenience store was like fat loss teas. One of the big ones. And, it, you know, you could kind of, the interesting thing when I was staying in Shinjuku, like there's like almost not even like convenience stores, but there will be just like open stores where you'll just kind of like walk it. You can like walk in from two different ends. And then in the middle, you'll find a lot of kind of like nutrition products. Like they had whey protein and they had, you know, some like multivitamins and stuff like that, fat loss teas. And I know the big thing when I was out there, or right when I got there, it was huge. It was all over the place. Was Pepsi Special, which was I don't know if that's still kicking around out there, but it's literally just Pepsi with like green tea extract in it.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like promoted as a fat loss product. So those were like the major things that I saw. Okay, perfect. I just found it. So yeah, I think. It was called, like they had products called Weight Down and like sports diet water.
Right.
Things like that. So,
yeah. So, I mean, a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, I mean, you know, they really get into these kind of diet products and they get into these things where, again, it's very gimmicky, and it's very like, you know, here, just, you know, eat this and you don't have to do anything and you'll be fine. Which isn't to say that people don't try to sell that stuff in the United States. I mean, I think I'm sure that happens as well. But I mean, you just see a lot of this where people, and you know, and it's this huge industry where they're, you know, they're making a ton of money off it. But the interesting thing is, like, I mean, you've been here, right? If you look at people, they don't have the same obesity problems they do in the United States. You know, everyone tends to be fairly thin. And it's actually almost the opposite. I mean, you see like a lot of that skinny fat type situation where, yeah, you know, I mean, both men and women, it's like, God, you have like absolutely zero. I mean, you're thin, but you have like nothing to you. And there's like no muscle mass. There's nothing there. You know, it's just adipose tissue kind of hanging off your skeletal structure, you know?
Well, it's like two things. Like one of the things that I noticed, one thing through the media, just like I sometimes watch some Japanese TV shows that are translated into English. So it helps me kind of like pick up the language a little bit, but, I mean, two things. One, obviously you go out there and, you know, almost everywhere you go, there's going to be curry places and ramen places and things like that. You know, your protein sources are going to be a little bit, not necessarily really hard to come by, but it's going to be accompanied by like lots of, you know, pretty, you know, dense carb sources. Like you're going to find the ramen place and things like that. And also, like I was saying, it was interesting to see, I don't know if it was just like, because it was, you know, a guy, but, you know, guys talking, you know, having no problem, like, calling women fat to their face and stuff like that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it's just, it just seemed like it kind of, like, hit me, like, that's kind of impolite. That's kind of rude.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great one. I'm happy that you came across that, because I would have totally spaced out on that because I've been here for so long. But yeah, that's actually a huge cultural difference over here. And it blew me away when I first got here. And but I mean, that's kind of how they are here. I mean, they will say just straight, like if they haven't seen one of their friends for a while and they'll show up and the friend shows up and they're just like, hey, you got fat. What happened? Why are you so fat? And I mean, like that. Just, well,
they
just
even
so
said
direct.
It at, I went and visited this this company called 8-4. There's these guys that translate video games over there, and like even like one of the women that works there is Japanese, and all the other guys are American. And then, you know, they obviously they're translating Japanese. And they have like no problem like calling them out. I was like, yeah, JJ, you're getting fat, Kevin. You got to give JJ a program to help him lose some of that weight. He's starting to get a little belly. I'm like, man, I almost feel like in America we wouldn't even like if you call someone fat, it's like basically just like calling them the worst thing possible.
Right, you know, and I mean, I think that's amazing that it's this totally socially accepted thing over here, you know. And I've speculated on times if that has anything to do with, you know, their you know, really. How should I say it? The fact that the people invest so much effort and stuff, and they really watch what they eat and really watch what, not so much what they eat, but how much they eat. I mean, you'll see volume control here is a major thing. And you just notice people are just not, you know, you just don't see as many heavy people cruising around here as you would in other parts of the world. And, you know, when I started noticing how people talk like that, I started wondering, like, God, I wonder if there's, you know, that if that's enough social pressure that kind of gets people to be like, well, you know, and kind of keep things under control, just because, yeah, I mean, people straight out call them out on it. I mean, it's just like, and when I first got here, people say that to me too, you know, like sometimes like they hadn't seen me for a while and I, you know, hadn't been training or whatever, you know, and it's like, I mean, everyone's weight fluctuates and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I had guys come up and just like, hey, Drew, what happened? You got fat since last time. I said, I'm like, what, you know, but it's not like that's all they point out, you know, cause then, whatever, I see me at a different point in time and I had a chance to, you know, get my act together and get my nutrition, my training together. And then people right away, they'll say the same thing. Wow, you got lean. All right, you're looking good, you know. So it's like they're just very direct to just kind of call what it is. You know, they're not trying to be politically correct or you know, when they say something nice. They're not trying to be rude when they say something, mm-hmm. you know. They're just, you know, just straight and honest with it, you know. So, yeah, it's a really interesting phenomenon, though, you know. And I've really speculated how much that plays into the fact that, you know, as a nation, they really don't have the same kind of obesity problems that people have in other parts of the world.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things why I find being out there so appealing and intriguing, just because, again, you see, you know, just how people kind of interact with each other. And, you know, in some ways it's just like you said, it's just kind of like being honest, and it's not even mean spirited. It's just like, right. It's just like, oh yeah, you know, you're eating ice cream, you're fat, like, or you know, stuff like that. Like, again, it's you know, just from what I've picked up from watching like TV shows and kind of seeing people interact out there, and from hearing stories from other people that live out there. So that's super weird. So yeah, let's you know, we'll continue on. And you did mention that you work with TRX and you're kind of like involved with TRX out there in Japan. Can you talk a little bit about how you got involved with them? And, you know, you talked a little bit about how you do some certification stuff out there for them.
Yeah. So basically, well, I think like a lot of married guys, you know, my wife is actually the brains behind the operations here. And so my wife, Kari, a couple of years back, well, when we were getting ready to put this facility together, even before that, she'd already had one of these suspension training units. And well, that was, you know, we have to call them suspension trainers now, because now they have the RIP trainer and they're trying to distinguish between, you know, TRX is the company name, and suspension trainer is the straps, and RIP trainer is the stick with the band on it. But she'd had one of the suspension trainers and she was using it when we travel and do different things. And because again, we're back and forth in the United States and traveling within Japan here. And she was really digging on it. And when we got ready to put up our facility, and she was like, yeah, you know, we're putting mounts in for this. We got to, you know, we're going to use this. This is huge. And then she started poking around. She was like, you know, I mean, you know, they should be out here with this stuff. Like, I don't know why they're not out here with this. This is like, you know, a really great piece of equipment. And there's so much versatility and things we can do with it. And so we kind of dug a little bit and talked to some different people we knew, and we got a connection with, got introduced to Fraser Quelch, who's their head of education there, and bounced some emails back out with him. And we happened to be in the U.S., and so we, during one trip, and we were able to cruise into San Francisco and talk to him a little bit. And it just happened that they were just getting ready to launch their, they're setting up actually a branch of their company over here, so which is a little bit different. Sometimes, you know, companies will set up, they'll hire another company in a country and make them a distributor. But TRX is, at least with respect to Japan, they were setting up their own company as like TRX Japan Corporation was being set up, and they were just in the process of doing that right when we kind of started talking to them. And it was just kind of a combination, I guess, of just good timing and the fact that, you know, we had some mutual acquaintances and things, and we kind of started talking with them and talked to the guy who was heading up TRX Japan out here. And we were just able to, you know, work out a good situation with them where we could kind of, you know, help them with their education and help them get the word out, help them promote and do stuff, and do some time, you know, working as basically a course instructor for them. So, you know, we had to go back to the United States and go through their, you know, their training programs and stuff that they had there in San Francisco, and then come back. And we've just been kind of working with that ever since. So it's like my wife's like, and she's really run with it. I think she's qualified to teach about like three other courses. And, you know, I just do the one, just the suspension training course. But you know, our facility is basically, we use that. That's where all the open suspension training courses are being run in the Tokyo area. So if they're like, they'll sometimes have private ones, a special like facilities, like, you know, Tipness or different place like that. They'll come in and do a suspension training course just for that facility and teach all the staff there and the trainers there how to use the equipment and the thought process and stuff. But for their open ones, they're just kind of open to any, you know, personal trainer or strength coach or whatever who is interested in learning about it. Those are all run at our place here. And my wife and I teach those. So, yeah, it's been really good. I mean, I don't know if you know any of those guys from that group very well, but they're all, you know, really great bunch of people and just super, super positive and really encouraging. And it's just been a real pleasure working with them and having time to interact with them.
No, that's awesome. And, you know, that kind of brings us back into the subject of, you know, obviously you're training a different population out there. You know, you're not dealing with, you know, bunch of obese people that are really coming to you. I mean, you're dealing with expats and you're also dealing with some of the Japanese population. So, you know, in terms of what you guys offer at your facility, you know, what do you have in terms of programs for adults, and, you know, do you work with athletes, and, you know, how do you structure that stuff?
Okay. Yeah.
Super broad question. I just threw a ton at you. So we're kind of, like I said, like, you know, we'll keep it kind of open-ended, but I'm to be honest, I'm just like super curious how, you know, all that stuff is set up.
Okay, well, let's look at the Japanese a little bit here first. Yeah. I think that's kind of the more interesting stuff. I mean, because the expats are coming from all over the world, and they have, you know, I think a lot of the same thought process and mm-hmm. interests and needs and stuff that the people you might run into in the U.S. The really interesting thing about here in Japan is even though people are not really, they don't really, you know, by our standards, by American standards, they're not, you know, heavy at all. They don't really have any kind of weight problem, but a lot of times they feel like they do. They still want to train. They're still trying to get like thin, you know, especially women, you know, they want to, you know, they really get, you know, the word like yaseru, did you ever hear that when you over here? It means like to be thin. So they're always talking about that, like yaseta just means like I want to get thin. And so that just means they're trying to get like skinny. But you're like, look at me, like, man, you're already skinny. You know, like what you really need is to actually develop some strength and some muscle mass. You know, you're not, you know.
But that is like a look that they kind of want, though, is it, you know, not really, you know, lots of muscle mass, just kind of like really thin.
Right, exactly. But it's just it's that thin that it's like, you know, it's like Robert Polka calls it. It's so funny. I love that guy. He says he calls it tofu on a stick, right? So it's like, you know, their skeletal structure there.
Someone who's brutally honest for you. We'll have Robert on at some point to talk more about his experiences out there.
He's the best. You got to talk to that guy. I actually get to meet him tonight. I'm so stoked. I love him. Basically, yeah. I mean, there's the real serious myophobia over here, like just afraid of muscle and anything revolves around training. They hear the word training, and the only thing they can think of is like bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, you think like it's hard, like in the United States, to get women to understand like lifting weights and getting strong is important. God, over here, it's like, oh my God, they just won't. You know, they will freak out. I mean, they'll walk in with, you know, a handbag that weighs like, you know, 10 kilos, whatever, you know, and you put like a 2 kilo weight in their hand, like, oh my God, it's so heavy, I can't do it, you know. And you're just like, my God. So that was part of the reason my wife was really so gung ho to why she really want to do stuff with TRX, because for her, she's like, okay, this is a great ins, because, you know, it's body weight, you know, number one. It's like, okay, can you just move your body? And that's not as intimidating. Sometimes you can get women just like, look, you know, we're not using weight. You're just moving your own body around. Are you strong enough to move your body? And that actually, people are like, oh, wow, this is kind of interesting. I didn't really realize how weak I was. And then they kind of get into it. They don't really feel like they're doing strength training. I mean, they are, but they don't really feel like they are. And so she's able to kind of approach that and get them training and get them doing the things that they really need. So, I mean, you and I mean, we all know this, that, you know, I mean, if you get stronger, you don't necessarily have to develop a ton of muscle mass. I mean, you can get stronger and get that tone and tone physique that women are interested in without, you know, packing on tons of muscle. But, you know, again, over here, it's like, God, you know, you even try to just, you know, think about putting a dumbbell in their hand, or let alone have them pick up a barbell, and they just lose their minds, you know. I mean, obviously, I'm generalizing quite a bit, but I mean, you know, that is definitely the overall kind of pervading thought process. I mean, it still amazes me when, you know, we'll be out and we meet people at parties and stuff, and they'll ask us, like, you know, kind of what we do for work. And we'll say, well, yeah, we're in this training facility. Immediately, they're like, these, you know, everyone's kind of like flexing and stuff, like, oh, like train, like, oh, like body, you know. I'm like, no, not like that at all. No, you know, it's like, you know, we try to get people to, you know, basically our, you know, our motto here for our facility is, you know, feel better, move better, perform better. And that's what we're after, you know. It's like, number one, just want you to feel good and be able to move good and continue to perform good. That's good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want to get your physique right, well, you know, great. You know, you want to look good. You want to look like an athlete. Well, let's train like one, and you'll feel good and you'll start looking better. So, I mean, that, you know, that's that kind of bit there as far as, you know, kind of what people are thinking about when they come in. As far as what we're doing, the kind of people we work with, I mean, it's a pretty broad spectrum, to be honest. I mean, we'll get, you know, people coming in that just, you know, again, they just want to get a little exercise. They want to move well. We do work with some athletes. I'm actually the strength coach for a professional rugby team up here that's based up in northern Japan. And so I go and work with those guys about once a month and deliver programming and stuff for them. And that's real fun, because that's, you know, obviously, you know, very different in the demographic. You know, it's nice to be able to give people, you know, a solid set of programming and know they're going to do it 100% with 100% effort. And you can, you know, see that progress from month to month. You know, within our facility, obviously, you get, you might get it where you're working as well. People that, you know, they try to be committed, but, you know, they'll come in, you know, like maybe once or twice a week, then they miss a few days and back in here. And so it's like, it's very a lot, you know, start and stop type of thing. And the progress is really choppy. So, but the people that are generally coming in for a facility, I guess, more than anything, you know, they're probably, we get a lot of word of mouth referral. And I think a lot of people come in because, you know, people that have worked with us, you know, they start feeling better, you know, if they've had some aches and pains and things like that, you know, it starts clearing up and, you know, that kind of word kind of spreads and people want to come in and see what that's about and just try to get themselves feeling better and moving better. But yeah, usually, you know, I don't know. I think that, you know, it's hard to kind of pin down like one specific, you know, one specific thing or one main thing that people are looking for when they come in the door here. Other than that, you know, they generally just want to, you know, they want to move a little bit better. And yeah, you know, they want to feel better about their bodies to a certain degree.
One thing that you mentioned, you know, Tipness, and we've been doing some work for, you know, for those guys. It's a gym chain. I think it's like the third or the fourth largest gym chain. And one of the fun facts for people out there Konami, which is like a video game maker, they have the largest gym chain in Japan, which is like how they bankroll all their money. Like that's where they make all their money off of. And we were kind of talking a little bit about, you know, the similarities between, you know, Tipness and Boyles. And, you know, one of the questions that I was really curious about is kind of like how, you know, what's the, like pop the demand for athletic training, like for whether it be like soccer players or baseball players out there. And it seems like there still isn't really a high demand for high school training. Is that kind of like what you're seeing too? Is it just kind of like, you know, there's not, you know, young athletes just aren't really, you know, understanding the possible benefits that they could get from strength training?
Yeah. Well, I mean that gets into a lot of elements there. I think it's probably a combination of things. You know, it's one, you know, depending on where people are living and what type of what their general scheduling and stuff is, what they're able to do. Like if you look at, I mean, it's not uncommon for people around the Tokyo area. They might be commuting by train like a couple hours each way each day, you know, which is like a huge time demand, right? You know, even if they're just doing an hour, like near 90 minutes, whatever, you know, they're sucking up a lot of time with traveling, things like that. So it's like, do they have time to start doing stuff that's going to be extracurricular to, you know, let's say they're playing a sport, let's say they're a soccer player and they have soccer practice after school and things like that. They're going to be so probably wrapped up in that if there isn't something like right there on site or nearby the school, they're probably not going to be able to really get out and be able to go do that just because of the straight, you know, time situation. The other thing is that, you know, there's definitely this whole kind of very, like, it's very still prevalent here in Japan, this whole kind of like in-group, out-group mentality, and means that, like, you know, when people are part of like a team or group or something like that, they're going to stick and kind of do everything with that team and that group, and their practices and all their things are going to, like, you know, frequently drag on for hours. And unless, like, you know, the coach or whoever's coaching that decides that, okay, you know, it's important to do strength conditioning work and, you know, we're going to go do that, you know, it's probably not going to happen. They're not going to have, you know, any kind of exposure to that. And then, you know, or they might decide, you know, the coach might decide he's going to do that, but it's going to be like on site at their facility, but or at their school. But on site there means that, you know, probably the equipment's not very good. And then you're dealing with, you know, someone who probably is not really up on, you know, current know-how of how, you know, how to actually conduct things, you know, properly, how it should be conducted. Then you start getting, and this opens, this is like a huge can of worms here, just dominoes here. Then you start getting into the whole thing where, okay, you still have this very strong hierarchical relationships here in Japan between, like, you know, instructors, students, or even with the, you know, the whole like senpai kohai relationship. You've heard about that, I think. Have you heard those words at all?
Yeah, again, mostly from just like media and stuff like that, but
Right. So it's like basically, so you, obviously you have like the instructor-student relationship, right? And everyone hears about light. Everyone knows like the word sensei and stuff from karate movies and stuff like that. But, you know, basically, you know, whoever well, the instructor is, I mean, you never, you can't, it's really difficult to, you know, the student's never going to say anything contrary to what the instructor says. And they're not, they're never going to say, like, even if they're doing, you know, something and they think like, oh, this is a terrible idea, they're not going to be like vocalize that to the instructor. And it happens the same way, even, you know, to a lesser degree, even on peers that are like slightly of a, you know, in this kind of senpai kohai thing. Senpai would be someone who's like your senior, you know, like, so basically, you know, you're working at Mike Boyle's, you've been there for a long time. So anyone who came in, you know, after you would be like your kohai, right? The thing is that, you know, maybe in the US, because of, you know, how people interact and talk and things like that, even who's someone who came in after you, they might, you know, if they read something really awesome and they said like, you know, hey man, you know, hey, I was just watching this DVD, this totally just totally blows what we've been doing. We've been doing this one exercise, and I think, you know, if it, you know, according to this DVD, we should look at this because, you know, we might, you know, want to totally change this. You know, that might be met with some kind of receptively in the United States. It probably wouldn't be that receptive over here, because it's still, it's like, well, what do you know? You're the kohai, you know, you're the lower guy, you know, that's like, they don't really get to say, they can't really be, you know, putting out ideas and concepts and stuff that are going to necessarily be bought up by, you know, the senpai or even the sensei, the higher levels. So that kind of creates kind of a situation and problems, and Robert will be a good one to talk to about this as well, because he really gets into a lot of he runs into a lot of this. He butts out a lot of people because he's at a university. You know, I'm not at a university. You know, I'm independent out here in the independent market. But, you know, it's like, you know, you'll run in these guys and it's like these instructors, and it's like, you know, even if you can prove to them what they're doing is completely wrong, they're still not going to admit it just because they don't want to lose face. They don't want to say like they're not. You know, you don't. I mean, you know, like one of the things I really love about Coach Boyle is that he's always been willing to say like, okay, hey, I learned a better way to do this. You know, boy, I was doing this last year and that was just like stupid. You know, I found this way better way. And that's awesome. And I really respect that. Well, you know, he's kind of an anomaly even in the U.S. Not a lot of the guys who want to admit that even in the United States. Out here, man, you're just not going to meet many people that are going to say like, you know, hey, especially if they've been coaching for, you know, whatever, 20, you know, 15, 20 years, whatever, to say like, oh, wow, you know, hey, I read this book written by this guy in the United States, and now I realize everything I'm doing is like completely wrong. I'm going to change it all. They're, even if they might recognize that themselves, they're probably not going to just jump on that immediately. So it, you know, so that again contributes to, I mean, it's very long-winded, it's very circular, but it kind of contributes to what you're saying as far as like the demand for, you know, strength and conditioning. I mean, you know, kind of recap it a little bit. It's like, you know, number one, do they have the time to, you know, to actually do something like this, to add this to what they're doing in their day-to-day life? Number two, do they have access to something like that? You know, if it's a private place, I mean, it has to be close to what they're doing. It has to be endorsed by their whole team, basically. You know, the senior people on the team have to say this is cool, because if they don't, then none of the junior people on the team are going to go out and do it. If they have it within their own school and the facility, it's like, okay, is this even being led by someone who actually really knows what they're doing? And if they don't, I mean, you know, what's it going to take to finally get this person to start changing their thought process a little bit and, you know, start realizing that, okay, there's other ways to do it, you know? And, you know, I mean, it gets tricky, you know, and especially, I mean, Japan as a nation was very closed for, you know, many, many years. And even recently, I mean, there's still a little bit of that mentality. You'll come across that here sometimes where, you know, people, you know, come across guys out here that really think that, you know, Japanese know best for Japanese, and they don't really want to hear, you know, what's coming out from other parts of the world. I'm not saying everyone's like that.
I think people can like see it like mostly when you know, people who hear about it in America, they see it, whether it was in, you know, the earthquake and the nuclear disaster where, you know, all the heads of the power company were saying, no, we understand exactly what's going on. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Like almost trying to like cover that stuff up. And even in like the corporate structure, one of the biggest stories that, I mean, obviously, I think most people ended up picking a little bit of it up was the whole thing that happened at Olympus, where, you know, again, it was kind of just a thing like, you know, we kind of know how to do things and we know exactly what we're doing, even if it, you know, could harm the company. And just the corporate structure through companies like Panasonic and Sony, they're running into trouble because just like, you know, the same guys that have been on the top of the boards for, you know, the last 20 years are making the same decisions, and they're not getting new blood in there, and they're not really, as long as I guess they're still getting their paycheck, they're just kind of happy even if the company is not doing great.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I believe that, you know, and I mean, things are definitely changing. I mean, you definitely have enough, there's still quite a few Japanese guys, or even more, I should say, there's even more Japanese guys, men and women, not just guys, that are making their way to the United States. They're going through a university there. They might do some grad school. They're working. They're getting a really solid feel on, you know, whatever it is, you know, strength and conditioning or physical therapy or different things. They're coming back to Japan with these skill sets. But again, you know, they come back to Japan and they bump heads with kind of the old guard, you know, the guys that, you know, are still kind of, you know, call the shots and they're the senior guys, and they don't necessarily want, you know, this, they're not necessarily going to listen to this, you know, younger person who comes back and says, hey, you know, I've been, you know, whatever, I was working over, you know, in the United States, and this is how we did stuff, or I did a mentorship at Mike Boyle's or Athletes Performance or something, and like, you know, this is a better way to do it. It's not necessarily, those words aren't going to necessarily be received totally receptively, you know, or, you know, by their hires up here, you know. And it's actually kind of interesting. I mean, some of the, you know, I talked to guys or a bunch of people who've lived overseas and they've worked there and they're back in Japan, and I ask them, you know, like, so, you know, why are you back in Japan, you know? And they're like, because my visa ran out. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, so you know, you don't want to be working in the industry here? And they're like, no, I wish I was back in the United States. You know, and so it's like, if they can stay in the US, they will, you know. So that, again, so that kind of impedes things. So it's it's really kind of interesting dynamic. I think more than anything, it just takes, you know, it takes time. You know, things will, you know, kind of, you know, information kind of gets out and people start seeing stuff and again, there, you know, there's enough people kind of start vocally talking about things and stuff will, you know, stuff starts happening for sure. But it's just you know, that cultural aspect really kind of lends a little bit of a barrier to it. I think it, you know, which is probably why it's not moving as fast out here as it would be in other parts of the world. Still there?
Muted myself, but I was saying that you know, we it is becoming a little bit more progressive, and we've had like Japanese strength coaches and trainers that have come, you know, to the States to come to the mentorship at MBSC. And, you know, even like I was mentioning before, like there's Japanese companies that are kind of reaching out to kind of see what, you know, the best, you know, gyms in America are doing, and, you know, seeing, you know, what can be taken and adapted from that, that setup. So it's good to see. And it's, you know, again, with the beautiful connected internet these days, we can have much better communication between each other, you know, so hopefully it's only going to get better. But you know, we're coming up on about the 50 minute mark, and you mm-hmm. know, I would love to kind of like wrap up by just, you know, talking about what do you kind of see as like the future out there in the industry in Japan, because we've talked, you and I, we kind of conversed in the past, you know, talking about there are more like fitness, like not necessarily seminar, there's seminars out there, but there's also like trade shows going on. So, you know, what have you been seeing out of that? And do you see like there is kind of like a trend towards a more, whether you call it like a functional training or more of like an Americanized, you know, training setup out there?
Yeah, I think, you know, at least in the immediate future, that's probably where things are moving the most. I mean, that's like, you know, that's like the big buzzword here now, is everyone's on about functional training, which is, you know, kind of funny because it's a little bit, you know, it's kind of a dated topic to a certain degree in the U.S. But again, you know, so there's that. Again, it's approach of this much more of kind of like a fad kind of mentality in the sense, you know, so it's like, you know, now it's, you know, everyone's trying to be functional, and suddenly, you know, like doing like, you know, heavy barbell lifting, and that's not functional anymore, which is, you know, a little bit silly. So, you know, I kind of run into some problems with that, and, you know, have some words with some people about those things. But, you know, I think it's probably, you know, there's going to start being a shift where people actually start kind of appreciating or wanting to, you know, develop strength and things like that. You know, CrossFit's making a big push here now, for better or for worse. But, you know, I think, you know, if people can at least start appreciating the idea that, hey, you know, it's not just about, you know, being really, really thin, you know, it's like, you know, let's actually get strong. Let's actually, you know, get some athletic capability back. Even if you're not planning on being a serious athlete, just, you know, appreciate just using your body and getting strong. And as people start seeing the, you know, the benefits of that, the long-term benefits of that, I think that, you know, there'll be more people getting on board. But definitely in the trade shows and stuff, it's just, I think it's a lot of the same kind of things that are kind of hitting and pushing hard in the United States. There's still this, you know, I mean, the shift for definitely doing, you know, a lot more upright stuff, a lot more integrated motion. You know, Konami, I think, is running into some major problems because they have their video game stuff now, right? I don't know if you saw that. If you come by when there's one of these trade shows, they have like their big, they have this whole kind of video game, integrated video game exercise system. But before that, they had all their gyms were just like, they're just machine gyms. Like, I mean, they don't even have a squat rack. I mean, it's like, yeah. And I think they're really running into some problems now, because definitely the biggest thing that's going on right now is everyone's finally starting to get upright. They're finally starting to get up and say, okay, cool. We don't want to just be sitting on these chest press machines and leg extension machines. Let's actually start moving and start, you know, throwing stuff around and doing things. Again, like I said, but you know, now they're trying to classify, you know, what's functional and what's not functional, and you know, going out and cranking out a heavy set of deadlifts is, you know, not considered functional anymore, which is just, you know, it makes me just like throw up a little bit in my mouth. But I think that's definitely the shift. That's definitely the trend right now. That it's kind of maybe what was starting to really happen hard in the United States. I don't know. I guess was that maybe 5 or 6 years ago? I lose track of the timeline sometimes in the U.S. I always kind of assume the U.S. because I'm always communicating by email and stuff, or I'm reading stuff by, you know, looking at Boyle stuff or looking at, you know, Eric Cressy, or I communicate with Mike Robertson. I've been out to IFAS a couple of times, and so I always kind of assume the U.S. is all like that. But it does. I guess there are still places where they still have those kind of machine-based kind of training centers and stuff, and they're not really training all that, you know, efficiently and stuff. But yeah, I think definitely the U.S. has gone through a major overhaul, and I think Japan's kind of right on its heels, you know, really kind of moving in that direction to, you know, start thinking about more integrated upright motion and how everything really ties together, and less of just, you know, let's just kind of sit and push and pull levers around.
Very cool. Well, hopefully, I think this is a really nice change of pace for the listeners out there to kind of see what it's like in another neck of the woods out there. And, you know, again, if you ever make it over to Japan, keep your eyes and ears open. And I kind of make some observations out there. And it's, like I said, it's, you know, I mentioned on the show before, it's kind of like my favorite place to go. And, you know, it's, again, very interesting to see the dynamics and the differences when you head over. But Travis, thank you so much for coming on the show. And if people want to check out your facility, I know you guys have a Facebook page for Synergy Center. Is that kind of like the best place to kind of like check out and see what you guys are doing over there?
Yeah, that's the most up to date. My website, I mean, I'll be blatantly honest, my website is like, you know, I just can't find the time to keep that updated at all. It's like, but we just hired a guy. I just got a new guy on our team here, so hopefully it's gonna give me some more time. I'll keep that updated. But yeah, definitely the Facebook is, you know, we're posting stuff up there, whatever's going on. It hits there faster than it hits anywhere else. And then on, obviously, my page, my wife's page as well, our personal stuff. But yeah, the Synergy Center Facebook page is probably the best shot.
Awesome. Travis, again, thank you for coming on the show. And for everyone out there, don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. I will post some pictures of that crazy diet stuff that I saw in Japan in the show notes at thefitcast.com. Until next time, thanks for listening as always. And we will hopefully be back on a more regular schedule once I get back from Japan. So take care, everyone.